Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rowan Moore Garrity.
And I'm Krista Almanzon. This is 90.3 KAZU.
We've got something a little different planned today. We're calling it Monterey Bay Chronicles.
We're going to give you a 24-hour audio view of life all over the Monterey Bay area.
It's a project inspired by these silent films from almost 100 years ago.
Filmmakers started making films of that were basically portraits of a city.
They're called city symphonies.
My full name is Jan Christopher Horak. That's J-A-N hyphen C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, Horak.
And he's the director of the UCLA Film and Television Archive.
He knows a lot about city symphonies. He says they were basically some of the earliest documentaries.
Some of them a day in the life of a city, others just random shots. So small cities, large cities, the films that are short films may focus only on a neighborhood.
Filmmakers made city symphonies for Tokyo, Sao Paulo, Montreal, Moscow. There are 30 or 40 that we know of.
The most famous one is this one film, Berlin, Symphony of a Great City, by Walter Ruttmann.
When he made that film, his goal was really to capture kind of the spirit of Berlin and its endless, restless movement, you know, 24 hours a day.
You see people selling newspapers, eating breakfast.
Trolley cars, telephone operators, dogs fighting.
Okay, so that's not exactly what we did. This isn't a film, it's an audio portrait. And we did focus on individuals. But this whole idea of a city symphony inspired us.
What is going on around the clock here? What are the endless, restless movements of the Monterey Bay?
So, here it is, Monterey Bay Chronicles, your view of 24 hours in the Monterey Bay area.
It's 12 midnight.
How much?
Six.
Check.
My name's Trevor Hartman. I'm a dealer over here at the Marina Club card room in Marina. Poker is really what I think these casinos, card rooms, I should say, were built around. Vegas, they're the bosses. You can't roll dice in California. You can't spin a roulette wheel in California. And I think it's because Las Vegas, you know, tells us what we can and can't do. So I love cards, poker especially.
There's people here to have fun. There's people here to win. And, you know, me, I'm here to win.
Hold on, sir.
Is this mine?
No.
Thank you, man.
I'm sorry.
No, I got you, Tony.
You can go to either the poker room across the street or here, and there's usually a game 24 hours a day. And you're thinking, who would want to be up to play poker? Ton of people. Tons. And you might think, how can somebody just sit there? Do you think that you could sit down and do something for,
yes,
for 10 hours straight? That is a task. But actually, 10 hours straight is not enough time. I've talked to people, and I agree, who have said, if I don't have 8 hours to sit down and play poker, I'm not going to sit down. Making money playing poker is better than making money at a job, even though you make more money at a job. Sometimes.
Around 1999, I was a carpenter, and I was really hating my job, and I was sitting there in a casino playing poker one day, and I was looking at the dealer, and he seems very relaxed what he's doing. You know, he's an air-conditioned environment, and I had a job within a couple of weeks. Yeah.
It's 1 a.m.
Name's Willie. I'm at the 7-Eleven on David Avenue. Just one block over would be Pacific Grove. Right now I'm taking a break while I can. Calm before the storm. So it's usually when the bars close and they'll come in taxis and try and get some beer to take home. So they'll keep the night going, I guess. And then I'm going to be doing the parking lot, getting the outside cleaned. Stir straws. Cigarette wrappers. All the things that customers just throw down on the ground. I found $20 a couple times. But mostly pennies and nickels. Sales clerk / janitor. It's fun though. Always been a night person. So I always stayed up watching TV and always hated waking up in the mornings. I'd probably still be up doing other stuff at night anyway, so why not get paid to stay up? And that sounds like the order.
Hey,
what's up?
Oh, we're a little late.
It's 2 a.m.
So my name is Christopher Lyman. I'm a life support operator here at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. What we're looking at here is the Monterey Bay Habitats tank. It's a tank that has some large sharks. It basically displays animals that you'll see in the local environment like this. Everything in there is extremely sensitive to light, which is why some sharks will follow boats at night when the lights are on. So there's separate blinds that come down. And the reason is to keep the animals from smashing into the glass at night.
Usually when I do the rounds, I turn my light off. I don't like walking around with my light because I enjoy the aquarium when it's dark. So my name is Naisha Smith. I am a PSO, which is a private security officer here at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. The Pacific mackerel, they react to the light. They start swimming faster and then they'll stay in the back and hide for a minute. So I like to keep my light off for them. Some people don't like to do it, but I love it. I use it to heighten my senses. It's not that dark where you can't tell where you're going.
This is Makana. She's a Laysan albatross.
She's actually awake tonight.
She's staring at us. She's probably wondering why we're up so late. Hi, sweetie.
She has her little noises that we make, and we make our noises back.
You make sound for us tonight? Hi, baby.
And sometimes she talks and sometimes she doesn't. She's very moody. That's how we know she's a girl. We're very moody.
It's 3 a.m.
Hold on, Leo.
My name's Cody Rodabaugh, fishing on the Capo, Dungeness crab, or keeping the males. They have to be a certain size. The female, letting all the females go and letting all the rock crab go.
How we doing on a crab?
Leonardo Morelli. I'm a commercial crabber. We're about 10 miles off the coast right now. Pigeon Point, little above Año Nuevo.
Drop it.
Yeah, drop it.
It's 3 a.m. Leo's pissed, nice and tired, still crabbing away.
Just picture an oval basket of rebar, okay? You wrap the whole thing up in stainless steel wire so nothing can get out of it. Put it together and throw it in the water. And there you have it, 38-inch crab pond. So all you gotta do is find the mud and you'll find the crab, because the crab are after the clams. It's what they eat. Where are you gonna find clams? In the mud. I've been playing with crabs for a long time. Since I can remember grabbing a hold of a net, walking down the side of the docks when I was a kid getting off school, and scoop up a crab off the side of the dock and take them home and boil them up and eat them. Yeah, had a pretty cool, somewhat of a pretty cool childhood. Somewhere along the lines it went wrong though.
A lot of repetitive work, one pod after another. Hydraulics!
What are you, cripple?
No sleep. pushes you because you gotta really be careful. If I don't make it through there at the right time, I'll get my hands stuck in there with the buoy. But it hasn't gotten me yet.
Come on, get up, get up!
Hey, easy, man.
Deckhands, gotta love them. You know, in the old whaling days, over in Monterey, they used to push the deckhands overboard so they didn't have to pay them. Lots of stories about that.
They're doing all of that on no sleep. Sometimes they stay out for two full days. They don't really eat either, but they do each drink about 12 cans of Red Bull on every trip.
And that was no easy feat for you to record that. You spent 24 hours on that boat on the Monterey Bay.
I did. And by the end, I had to throw in the towel and go to sleep in the bow of the boat. There's a little compartment by the engine where you can lay down. And Leo had a sleeping bag for me.
Speaking of a time when most of us are sleeping.
It's 4 a.m.
I need a dozen
mix. My name's Griselda.
Mi nombre es Blanca Mendez.
It's my sister. I'm working in Missing Hall Donut Shop in Castroville. I wake up at 3, come in here at 4.
Okay, I'm calling Freitas. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. We're just getting set up. We're doing coffees, putting the display case together. And
at this time, normally it's quiet. Around 6 and 8, it's so busy. She hit the music.
Oh, parece que voy a la church.
In the morning, it's a ding dong, ding dong.
He's got some kind of alarm or something over here. I don't know, maybe it's not working right. You're on this side, no one's here, and it still plays. It's tiring after a while.
Good morning. Good morning. Good, how are you?
I've been coming here since I started working in Salinas 18 years ago. Good place to go. All righty, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
You too.
Remember that guy? He was in the white truck. He comes every morning for a crumb donut.
It's 5 a.m.
Good morning.
I'm Jeannie Underwood. We are at the Little Red Church.
A little more tired than usual because we have a 3-week-old baby in our group right now.
There are other churches that we stay at where we can put the individual in separate rooms, but this isn't one of them. So men on the men's side, women on the women's side, and families wherever we can fit them.
Because I'm in recovery, I'm a recovering alcoholic, this program's been a blessing to me. We are homeless, and there's a lot of homeless circumstances and situations which would be a lot more edgy for me, you know. At 4 a.m., you hear an alarm go off occasionally. Whoever's doing kitchen monitor gets up and puts the coffee on. And then at 5 a.m., the bright lights go on and you hear a good morning. And some people pull the covers over their eyes, and some people get up. There's a couple of people here who don't have all their mental faculties about them. So I just kind of, you know, I tap into my own insanity and giggle along. Try not to grumble too much, because a lot of people have a tendency to judge before they have an understanding of circumstances.
It's 6 a.m.
That one's for me. 911.
Hi, my name is Lori Scarriott. I'm a shift supervisor here with Monterey County Emergency Communications.
So you'll hear the public, they'll like say, like, R like Romeo, or R like Ruffles. Got it.
Adam Boy, Charles, David, Edward, Frank, George, Henry, Ida, John, King, Lincoln, Mary, Nora, Ocean, Paul, Queen, Robert, Sam, Tom, Union, Victor, William, X-Ray, Yellow, Zebra. So, we have phonetics. 911. Hello. Hello, 911. It sounds more like a pocket dial.
So,
I'm going to attempt to call him back and see whether or not they do have an emergency. Hi there, this is dispatch for 911. You were calling from your cell phone. Do you have an emergency?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it in my bag.
Okay, and your name so we can cancel the call? Okay, thank you so much, ma'am. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Bye-bye. Those are the kind of calls we get. Like, hang-ups. Missed dials, pocket dials. If I'd have to guess, I would say a good 40%. 20 to 40%. That's just my guess. Daily. It's just stopping us from answering. People that may be having a heart attack, a domestic, someone with a weapon, a robbery. It's just delaying us from answering those phone lines. 911. Okay, no, un momento, okay? There are some people that call consistently that we're familiar with. We'll have someone call in, and they may be older, they may be just completely lonely, and they just want to know what time it is. You know, what day is it? And I'll just entertain the fact that, you know, it is June, it's the 4th, it's a Wednesday, but if it's something where I'm thinking that maybe an officer needs to make sure they are okay mentally, they're able to care for themselves, I'll send an officer out there to evaluate. That's the service that we provide.
7 a.m.
I am First Sergeant Jacob Holland. This is Delta Company 229th MI Battalion.
Fall in. Right.
Right.
Place. Parade.
Parade.
Press.
This morning we're going to have an accountability formation. I will call the formation to attention, and then I will ask for the report, and all of my platoon sergeants will pull all of their personnel to make sure that everyone is present. Were accounted for. I generally do it once a week, and that's because I don't want to mess up the student schedule. We're trying to train the best linguists in the world, and the less I mess with them, the more time they have with their teachers. This is my third time at DLI. I've been in Delta Company 3 times. I was combat arms before I became a linguist, so I came through when Delta Company had the Russian students, and I was a sergeant when I first came through in 1998. This was our 15th military move when we moved back. I've been in the service for 21 years.
Company!
Two!
Attention!
I haven't retired because I'm still having fun, and I'm going to keep doing it until it's not fun anymore or I get tired of it.
Present!
Present!
Home! Order!
Order!
Arms! Left!
Left!
Place!
It's 8 a.m.
No, you've looked and looked. You have to buy something now. I mean, that's the regulations here. Buy something from me. Buy something. My name is Bill Orr. I am here in Moss Landing, and it's a frickin' cold morning. And we're at a flea market, a nautical flea market.
I got up at 10 minutes to 6 this morning. That's a miracle. Get me out of bed that early.
Julie has to come 200 yards to get here. She lives over there.
I do not live over there. That way.
That way.
Jeannie Kester. You feel like when you get off of the Highway 1, you're like in a time warp. It's just more relaxed.
The nail gun, all the nails, all these screwdrivers, and the box, $100. Okay, you've talked me down. 80. There you go.
Wow, he's a hard bargainer.
Calm yourself. I know it's such a good deal. Well, come on, buy something, your final pass. Come on, you've been wandering up and down. This is all from my garage, seriously.
He's telling the truth. I went up there and helped him pack it. And Bill buys it and takes it home, put it in the garage. Hi!
But, yeah, I would say probably 6 months. I'd get something if I haven't used it in 6 months. Like, for instance, this. I thought it would be a good idea to buoy a buoy. Yeah? And when you have a buoy, you can't really do an awful lot with it, so I thought I would pass it on to somebody else.
Now you're catching on to that selling technique.
Oh, you again? Yeah, get out of here.
It's 9 a.m.
Okay, folks, let's get started. Good morning, this is Pat Paramore. We are at the UCSC Cowell Limeworks Historic District for an archaeology dig. You see where that pink flag is right in that corner? That was the extent of the barn when they dismantled it. Bottle fragments, some ceramic fragments. We found deer bone, bovine bone, which is, you know, beef. A pig tooth last week.
So we're screening the dirt, everything that comes out. And so you go through and you break up all the dirt clods, and then you move the dirt to one side and you go through it.
Archaeologists basically, it's funny, they don't really have any of their own tools. They've borrowed tools from all kinds of other disciplines. This is like my goodie bag of, you know, little scoops. Peach pitters are great when you're digging around stuff. Ice picks, toothbrushes. I've got a couple dental picks. I was at the dentist and I said, hey, you got any old picks you're gonna get rid of? We're digging in 6-inch levels. So each time we complete a level, we stop, we fill out a form, and photos. So, and we document everything, because as you dig an archaeology site, you destroy it. It's a destructive science. It's careful, exactly documented destruction.
It's 10 a.m.
Okay, let's see. My name is Christian Schwarz.
Adam Rischke.
We're at Quail Hollow Ranch.
On what's starting to become a rainy Friday morning out here in Felton.
My name is Phil Carpenter. I'm currently the Prime Minister of the Fungus Federation. We're going to go out and see what we can find in the way of different mushrooms in this very unique habitat.
Oh, nice, Magna Varicata.
Oh, no kidding.
Walk right by it.
Look at that stem. God, those are pretty mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous. It's called the pine cone amanita. And it's really wrinkly, full of scales, just like a pine cone. Yet another poisonous species.
Once you learn the Latin prefixes and suffixes, it sounds less like gobbledygook and more like little pointers to help you identify what the mushrooms are.
This is a really, really good edible.
Boy, they stink. I don't even want to be around.
No,
these
they're
right
really
now.
They're really stinky. But you know, it's a good thing because you can tell right when they're starting to go over the hill. So, you know, one quick whiff. Yeah, I am red-green colorblind. You know, when you do a first glance and you don't see a color, you can instantly misidentify something. I've been caught in that innumerable times by these guys who say, no, that's, can't you see the pink? No.
No. Yeah, where a lot of people only focus on the edibles, the wow factor, the big stuff. Yeah, we're out here, you know, for the science of it. You know, it's a hobby that isn't a sit-at-home-on-your-ass type hobby. It requires reading and research and getting out in the woods, and you can see how glamorous this is. I say I got into mushrooms for the money and the women.
And both are still yet to come.
Yes.
It's 11 a.m.
We're looking at 600 ewes, or 600 mamas, and a dozen rams. And the rams are the ones with the black faces. My name is Bruce Delgado. I'm a botanist at Fort Ord National Monument for the Bureau of Land Management. Sheep have been grazing Fort Ord under Army management since the 60s. And so if a sheep aren't here, then we have a carpet of grass that will carry a fire. Once the sheep have been through here, there's not as much fuel, so the fire won't burn as hot or as fast. And is the sheep herded down with the water? Looks like he might be. Yep, that's Felipe Quinto.
Señor Quinto.
He brought them some water, and now he's going to bring them some more. It's in between tanks.
Tienen mucho zacate seco.
They have a lot of dry grass they're eating, so he says they need water, up to 3 gallons a day, some of the bigger ones. herding sheep is a specialized skill. So he comes with a worker's visa from Peru 3 years at a time. It has to be tough to be alone in a small little trailer on top of a grassy hill for 5 months. You know, it has to be lonely, and it gets really windy up here for days at a time. So it'd be a lot like being in the steppes of Mongolia or the Arctic.
The sheep are out there from April to July. During the day, Quinto uses a bunch of different whistles to get these three sheepdogs to corral the sheep together.
That's what they do during the day, but what do they do at night?
There's this giant white dog called a Great Pyrenees, and it just basically sleeps nearby, and I guess that's enough to keep coyotes away.
Next, we'll visit another outdoorsman, Jack English. He used to live way up in the mountains of Big Sur at a cabin he built with his wife.
He had to hike 5 miles to get there and carry all his groceries. But he did that until he was 93. And then he decided to move in with his son outside Soquel.
It is 12 noon.
We're in Rodeo Goes, Soquel. My name is Jack English. I was born June 30th, 1919, about a half a mile up the road here. And my wife and I built this house. I see, you'll get a close look at what I do. I make the bows. Like I say, I've got a bows in many of the big orchestras in the country. This is a violin, viola, cello, and bass. And it's a set, see? Pick it up if you want. It's what they call snake wood. You see it's spotted? I'm working on that to get it for a fella. I gotta get it ready for the hair. I don't claim to be the best, but I try. My wife grabbed that one when I made it, and she told me not to get rid of it. And then it don't seem possible she'd been gone 14 years, but she had. I don't know. I'm just lost without her. I don't know what to do. And she was a tough little one. That's the worst thing I ever went through, cancer. And couldn't do nothing. But we still got 60 years together. I had a good life. That part don't bother me. I know it's coming one way or another. So what I'm hoping for is something after. Hope there is.
It's 1 p.m.
Cool. Hey, my name is Volker Hag, and I am the owner-operator of Skydive Surf City, LLC, and we're here at the Watsonville Airport in Freedom, California.
Of all things, I'm actually, I got a master's in economics, believe it or not, and when I was at university, I did like an exchange term in New York City. From Germany, I moved to New York City, and I was at a party and I had a little bit too much champagne, and this girl said she wants to go skydiving, and I kind of liked her. And I said, well, if you go, I go. And she booked it in for the next Tuesday, and I did a jump in and there, and I liked it, and I just kept jumping. If you look up here, you see the parachutes. They're kind of circling down right now, and we're almost there at the landing area. The oldest person I've ever taken was a lady that was 89 years old, and we do get quite a few of 80-year-old birthdays. We just had one, I think, last Thursday, I think. We had an 80-year-old lady that jumped.
I only see one jumper, though.
Yeah.
But the other one will open any second.
I cannot see anything,
guys. Oh, there it is. Damn, that's high.
Hey, your insurance must be through the roof.
Cover the sun.
I see him now. I see him.
I don't see. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be real expensive. Look at her. Oh, my gosh.
Can I go again?
Awesome.
Can I go again?
We want to go again.
Awesome.
Do you guys get like the wind blow you right here, like the first 2 seconds?
What people always do, they get nervous and the wind fills up their lungs and then they think, shit, I need to breathe. And then they keep breathing in.
Yeah.
You breathe out and then it comes naturally. But a lot of times people, they even forget how to breathe.
At 2 o'clock, we're going into the Santa Cruz Mountains to meet a former physics teacher who, over the years, turned his home into an educational playground for students.
It's called Boomeria. That's after a quick break when Monterey Bay Chronicles returns. Welcome back. You're listening to the Monterey Bay Chronicles, a round-the-clock tour of life all over the Monterey Bay on 90.3 KAZU. I'm Rowan Moore Garrity.
And I'm Krista Almanzon. Each hour brings us to a new place. Now we'll hear from a retired teacher who spent 56 years teaching high school in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
So just to set this up a bit, his house is really in the woods at the end of the road in Bonnie Doon. And for about 50 years, or more than 50 years really, it was kind of a physics and chemistry playground during the summer.
His name is Boomer, and he let his students come over and work on all kinds of crazy projects.
They built a castle and guard towers, and then they rigged them up with fire hoses, which they used in these epic water fights. The idea was to learn about the physics of water pressure and construction. There's a locomotive engine they put together in the basement and an intercom network all over the property. One day in the 1970s, Boomer said his students wanted to build a tunnel underground from his basement to the castle, about 100 yards away. So he said,
"Talk's cheap. Take care of it."
And they did. Now, we're going to hear something else they built, using parts from an old church in San Jose.
It's 2 p.m.
So my students built this all summer long and weekends. Parents would complain, kid won't pull a weed at home, but he'll break his back digging that tunnel all summer long. I'm P.Q. LaBoom. That's my name. P.Q. LaBoom. We are in Bonnie Doon, Boomeria. My students made that up, Boomeria. Here's one of my first classes at San Lorenzo Valley. I was at SLV for 56 years, and a couple of these guys have already deceased. Linton von Berlding is now the director of the state crime lab. That back there is the blower for the pipe organ. I probably should pump up some air for a demo. Physics is so fun if the instructor is in for fun. And chemistry, we blew everything up. It gets worse and worse. A physics demo of the pipe organ. Archimedes on up. We started it myself when I was in San Jose going to college. And then when I brought it up here and started teaching here, then I got kids interested in it. The kids in here working on the pipes and everything. Now the sound is moving about 350 meters per second, so the time it takes it to do that determines the pitch of the pipe. So a longer pipe has a lower pitch. We made all this stuff, all those, you know, dryer hose, garden hose, all kinds of funny stuff. And those big 5 meter ones in the back that go clear up to the roof are made out of redwood fence boards, putty, and duct tape. That enables you to really express yourself. And this is a baby bat that I took out of that pipe last week because they get inside the reed. So when you step on it, you get instead of. Right now, no rats or bats.
It's 3 p.m.
Yuli's doing the barbecue sauce. We've got the Alabama white sauce. We've got the mango horseradish cream sauce for the coconut chicken. We've got to mix up the garlic and parmesan and parsley for our tater tots. Gabe's getting ready to puree his soup. We're looking good. Mama sauce, barbecue sauce, check. Chicken sauce, mustards. How are we looking on mustards? My name is Chef Paul. I'm the director of Drum and Culinary Academy here at Rancho Cielo. We're one of the trade schools that we do here. So we focus on getting these young students the skills to get a job when they graduate, doing Friday night dinners and catered events and parties like we're doing tonight for 150 people for jazz night.
It's a creamy mushroom soup and creamy broccolini. And right now I'm just deglazing the pan. I'm Gibber Rivera. I'm a line cook and usually I work on the soups every Friday nights. I dropped out my sophomore year and I just wanted to have fun and be young and spend money. I was 19 when I came here. I mean, even though when there is like depressing days, I still go on, you know, culinary is there for me. I feel it as a comfort for me, you know. So all I'm gonna do right here is just let the soup simmer for a little bit, let this get soft, and I'll throw it in the puree. Just keep on going with the culinary and see if I could make my steps way high up there with the celebrity chefs.
Next, we'll follow a psychologist with the Center for Farmworker Families on what she calls a farmworker reality tour. She gives them every summer to help students, or anybody really, understand what it's like to be an undocumented worker in a low-wage industry.
But to get farm workers to speak openly, she actually has to hold the tours at a farm where they don't work. So the tours are hosted at a small UPIC place near the coast in Aptos.
It's 4 p.m.
I should mention about pictures. 70% of California's farm workers, including many of the ones you'll meet today, are undocumented. And they don't want their faces filmed for obvious reasons. I'm Dr. Ann Lopez. This is a farm worker reality tour in Aptos with all college students. Yes. ¿Cuánto pagan por hora?
El año pasado pagaban a $5 la hora y a $1 la caja.
Okay, so it's $5 an hour and $1 for picking a case of 12 baskets of berries. So why don't we follow Anastasio up the road here, a farm worker who has worked several years picking strawberries, is demonstrating the skill set needed to be able to pick and pack strawberries so they can go to market. He's bent over at the waist, and he stays that way up to 13 hours a day. And see, what this does when you pay what they call horas y cajas, then what that generates is people picking as fast as they can, and a lot of people get injured. He says what really hurts is his back.
Is he also sorting by size as he's doing this?
Te chequean la caja.
Oh, check the case. You have to order them in a certain way, otherwise they're not considered acceptable.
It's 5 p.m.
I never realized how squeaky it is.
My name is Jan Wagstaff, and I'm one of the artists at the Carmel Art Association, and I'm currently have a show in the Beardsley Room. We're one of the oldest artist-run galleries in the country, and the building was built in 1927, and it's high up off the street because it was built on a sand dune before any of the rest of the buildings were here. The artists came down here right after the earthquake in San Francisco, started to draw this way, poets and artists. Our watercolor room. And really the most favorite room of people is the stacks, what we call the stacks. People just love, you know, going through and seeing what an artist has within a stack. This is my work here. I'm a painter, basically. Grasses, water where there's a dimension and you can look close up. So I delivered a piece today to a woman who has a home here in San Jose. And we actually placed it, which was great. I that usually doesn't happen. So it was on a beautiful wall, and I was just thrilled to see how it looked. I moved down here in 1980 for a short period of time. I thought, well, maybe a half a year or something like that. And so that's 36 years. So I'm a local. I'm a local now.
It's 6 p.m.
So my name is Tony Howard. We're here at the Roundtree facility in Watsonville, California. Preachers, teachers, all types of people are in jail. God didn't make no one bad. You know, we just make bad choices. You're ready.
One more, sir. Here we go.
Well, man, what about that?
What's up, man?
Mike, it's good to see you, man. How long are you here for?
I'm not sure yet. I go to court Thursday.
How you doing, you know?
Good, how
Reverend,
you doing, man?
Good to see you.
You too.
Missed you guys. I was just went to finish up some time in Nevada. And there's no horrible place. And I spent a lot of time in 20-hour day lockdown thinking about you guys, and I missed all you guys, and, you know.
Amen. Yeah. Who has a scripture for us?
Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I lived.
Let's look at Matthew 26:41. Are we there? Any questions?
Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Watch and pray so that you will not fall into what?
Temptation.
Temptation. And you know what? We are all tempted at times.
So, but the Lord says somewhere, and I know I heard it, and we probably read it, vengeance is mine.
Yeah.
Taking revenge on someone, that's the problem that I have. Sometimes I like to. Yeah.
All right. You know what? I went through something a couple of weeks ago that it reminded me back in the old days. You know? Yeah. It reminded, you know, we're being honest with one another.
Yeah.
So it reminded me back in the old days when I would have said, you know, no, you don't want to deal with me on that level. Mm-hmm. You know? But the Holy Spirit kicked in, and I'm glad it did, to say, you know what, you just chill out, son. Mm-hmm. Chill out. Because you ain't all you think you are either. You know what I mean?
It's 7 p.m.
Hi, I'm Beth Gemini. My name is Marianne Porter. I am the founder of Santa Cruz Ghost Hunters. And tonight we are in a haunted location in Watsonville.
To just verify if there is any paranormal activity. There has been some reputed activity from the people that are of the area that are also working on the building. And we're trying to see if we can collect actual evidence of this.
Is it a ghost or a ghost story?
So I was thinking we can start breaking off maybe into a group. Who wants to go with who?
Right.
I have one digital recorder, one K2 meter.
I have this extra recorder we could set in a room somewhere and just let it run all night.
Okay. We got the use of the ghost box, also the REM pod.
All right, I'm going to go get my stuff.
I'm going to put this in here. Since this room was getting activated.
That was the room that had, that the light was flicking on.
Sarah Maria here? I know there are a lot of Marias. Is there an Edna? Don't be shy. We're not here to harm you. Turn on a light if there's an Edna. Thank you.
Mm-mm.
Well, that'll work.
Mm-mm.
normal Joe flashlights?
That's even, that is actually a flashlight I got for free in the mail from Marlboro Cigarettes.
The flashlights are turned just to the point where they've disconnected. So now they're kind of connecting on their own. Or jumping the small space in between the battery and the light.
Come play with the equipment on the floor.
It got brighter.
Can you turn it off? Turn the light off.
It's 8 p.m.
Do we have a square?
We have a square.
Oh, okay. It's 8 o'clock. We're in the Oldemeyer Center in Seaside, and we just come have fun.
Out of the partner corner, two, circle it left around.
Sage Stompers is a square dance club. I'm Don Benson, I'm the caller.
Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, Lexi. And I can tell you how to remember it. Lexi rhymes with sexy. So I'm not sexy anymore because I'm over 60, but that's beside the point.
Pass your partner, find your corner, Alamand.
I was one of those typical nerds that had never danced. Anytime I went to a dance anywhere, I found a corner to put my back into and watch all those people out there make idiots of themselves, you know. My wife and our church minister hijacked me one Saturday night and took me to a square dance.
I wish we had more dancers, but I really don't think so because I don't think this type of movement appeals to the young people. The young people like to be more personal.
Oh, that's ugly.
That's not exactly the right thing to do. But he's my husband, and they know him, so.
Thank you.
See, this is the commandments for square dancers right here. And thou shalt be exuberant, but shalt act thy age. Sometimes I act my age, sometimes I act a little too silly.
Do a single hinge, split, circular. To your right, Craig.
So, if square dancing is your thing, and especially if you're under 70, the Sage Stompers want to see you on Tuesday nights.
If you live at this next place, though, you'd better be home by 10 p.m. It's a sober living environment with a curfew and an emphasis on surfing.
It's 9 p.m.
Terry McQuaid. Surf, skate, and destroy. That was like my been my whole life.
My name is Matt Sedell. Live in Capitola, California. And I'm just hanging out at the Fleehab house, getting back to my roots.
Yeah, hardcore skate, surf, surf, and skate.
Skate, surf, surf, skate.
When I first started out, you know, it wasn't drugs and any of that. It was just surfing. You know, it was just strictly surfing. Then of course the drinking became to then the meth came around and that then I could like do meth and surf longer.
And you know, you go off on these little binges 5, 6, 7, 10 days, 2 weeks, get a couple nights rest, and then you're up and running again. So surfing kind of took a back seat in my life, and it became drugs, women, bars, shooting pool for money, and then skating in the middle of the night when the bar had shut down. And now it's like, you know, go to work. When I got some downtime, I'm fired up to go surf. I'd say what's difficult for me is the fact of, yeah, I got some money now, I want to go out. But then thinking of what does that mean now? Where? Because the where factor growing up in this town, knowing so many people, has to do with a lot of it. Do I want to go downtown Santa Cruz? Everywhere I go, I run into someone I know. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
Yeah, like some people, they try and get clean by moving somewhere else. And that doesn't always work out.
It's 10 p.m.
So this would be
part water, part fish, and part salmon oil. Fish milkshakes. I call them fish milkshakes. I think we pretty much all do. I'm Zee Zavias, and I'm volunteer with the Marine Mammal Center.
So my name is Marina Nichols, and we are at Monterey Bay Operations, which is our satellite triage center, feeding two yearling sea lions.
Well, we use these, we recycle plastic containers, so let me draw it up. The feeding syringe. Do you want to restrain, or do you want me to restrain?
Oh, sure.
He's probably going to be a little bit hesitant and maybe a little nervous and shaky because we just removed a hook out of his mouth, so he's probably not too trusting, which he shouldn't be. He's having little problems getting on one side. Watch.
So he's not using that right flipper to move at all.
No.
And then he crawled through there and got stuck in there, which I was just going
to
empty.
Right. I'm going to go check the chart to see if they charted that on his right flipper. Okay. It's kind of like almost like a stagecoach type of thing. The animal that we have here called Harold was rescued, I think, in Santa Barbara County and went to our San Luis Obispo and then now is with us. And Harold will be transported tomorrow up to Sausalito, so it goes all the way up the coast. I thought when I first came in that, I can certainly help answer phones, or I could certainly help, you know, file, put things away. I've surprised myself.
It's 11 p.m.
I am seeing how much money is mine and how much money is the restaurant's. And it worked out for both of us tonight. This is Nick Tribble at the Boulder Creek Brewery in Boulder Creek, California. And we're closing up for the night. Here, hold this. Say good job, Daddy.
Good job, Daddy.
Daddy. This is my necktie. So I have two daughters, 2 and 4 years old, and they, my mom, their grandmother just dropped them off here with me. I'll be out of here not soon enough, but there's no daycare that, like, has night hours like this, so my mom helps me out, and she has my kids while I'm at work. Sierra, baby. Sierra, come here, sweetheart. You want a bite?
All right.
And steak. Moo.
Hola, señorita.
Juan, speak Spanish to my daughter and make her bilingual.
Hola. Hola. That means hi. Yeah.
So my kids love vegetables. They love vegetables. They love fruit. They sleep 10 to 12 hours at night. And this little girl doesn't even know what a B-O-T-T-L-E is. No one say it. You want a carrot? Eat it all.
So, as you can hear, there's a lot going on everywhere, all the time, even in the places you might never think about.
There are roughly 600,000 people in the Monterey Bay area going about their lives, 600,000 different lives right now. And this is just a small sample. We recorded it in 2014 and 15.
Thanks for listening.
I'm Krista Almanzon.
I'm Rowan Moore Garrity.
This is 90.3 KAZU NPR for the Monterey Bay Area.